Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 24. I got a brief message this morning, so if you're hungry, this is the right day to be here. Did you get to? Hallelujah. 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 All right, this is a little funny right now because the Lord is talking to me about something other than what I have prepared to preach, which is somewhat interesting because I'm getting ready to preach, you know? Tracy, can you give me my phone? It's in the back of my bag there, all the way in the back. There you go. Nope, that's the front, the back, right there. There you go. You guys okay? You love the Holy Ghost? I really love the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, you gotta come to a place in your life where you know who you are. Does that make sense? You got to come to a place in your life where you know who you are. I remember I grew up, part of my testimony is that I grew up in a white home in a black neighborhood. Can I say that? Can we be post-racial enough that I just say, can I use those words? Is that okay? And you not think that I'm whatever? And my family moved to South Florida from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, you know, what's funny is people think that racial issues only involve skin color. And historically, from the beginning of time, racial issues, people always find a reason to segregate. People always find a reason to hate somebody. We'll always find a reason to think that we're either better than somebody or somebody is worse than us, right? And so my family in Pittsburgh, I come from, on my mom's side, a long line of Italian Catholics. Any Catholics, any Italians out there, any? And on my dad's side, there was Irish Catholics. Any Irish folk out there? Like a third of America's Irish. What are you talking about? Any white people out there? Any people out there? Any racist people out there? Anyway, so in my mom's day, in my dad's day, when they got together, The Irish Catholics didn't really associate with the Italian Catholics because everybody will find a reason to segregate. And so my family, there was kind of family issues, and my mom and my dad divorced, and my mom moved to South Florida. And my mom was not exactly a business expert, not exactly a financial whiz, and she discovered some housing that the government helped you pay for. And she thought, this is just an amazing stroke of luck that I found this. Of course, we know that that's the projects. And so which is fine because we were broke. And we wound up living, here my mom and her Irish Catholic family, in the middle of downtown Delray in the 70s. And as if you've grown up in Delray, you know downtown Delray is far nicer now than it ever was in the 70s. And so I grew up in two worlds, so to speak, and it could sound funny, but it's true. I grew up in two worlds, and when I hit my early teens, like every teenager has to do, I had to discover who I was. I couldn't just say, let me look at my surroundings, and this is who I am, because who I went to school with, who I grew up with, who my friends were, who I associated with, was completely different than the family that I saw when I went home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And so I remember very distinctly going through most of my teens trying to figure out who I was and trying to fit into groups. And I didn't realize that everybody in their early teens is trying to figure out who they are. I didn't know that nobody knows who they really are. And that's why the boys lie about their endeavors and the girls try to fake makeup, you know, and like they actually know what they're doing. And everybody knows, you know, it's like, we don't put on makeup with a spray can. You didn't use a spray can? It looks like you used a spray can. And so... I remember very distinctly in my early 20s, one day looking in the mirror and knowing who I was, and that was such an epiphany for me that I was comfortable in my skin for the first time in my life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? you feel like, okay, this is who I am. Then I got saved, and then I realized who I really am. But at least I didn't hate myself at that point. And so I get saved, and the Lord touches me with his Holy Ghost, and I know that I'm called to ministry. And there's this dynamic that happens when you're called to ministry, or you feel like God has called you to do something. You kind of enter your teenage years again. And you enter your teens trying to emulate the people that you think got it figured out. And so I remember distinctly, you know, there's people who want to, be on stage, and it's just for the wrong reasons. They don't recognize that they're called to have influence, but not necessarily to be on stage and be popular. And not everybody is going to have, Reinhard Bonnke's 1 million people in the crowd. You know, and if God's calling is for you to disciple 12 people, then and you have 1 million people in your meeting, you've missed the call. You've missed it. If I raise up 15 spiritual sons and my natural son doesn't follow Jesus, I have missed the call. So many ministers have had their wives become ministry widows and their kids become ministry orphans because they didn't recognize their first call. And when I wanted to preach the gospel, I really wanted to travel, be an itinerant. I wanted to be a revivalist, and I really feel like God has a call on me to do that. I didn't recognize the times and the seasons. And so I'm preaching, I'm trying to figure out who I am, I'm trying to be all these people, and then I'm watching some of the people who I wanted to be, and I'm watching their ministries burn out. And then I thank the Lord that he didn't give me the fruit or the ministry that he gave them. Because when I die and they put me in the ground like he's going to do all of us, I want it to be said of me that I finished the race well. I want people to be able to stand in my funeral, and I want them to be able to say, because I met this man, my life is different. My life is better. I want people to be able to say, I'm a better father. I'm a better mother. I'm a better husband. I'm a better leader of my community. I'm a better son or daughter. The legacy I want to leave is that families are stronger. Neighborhoods follow Jesus, that Christ's name is glorified in the earth. If my name is not on a list of having the largest crusade or the most number of healings or anything that I could produce in the natural, if I don't produce that, I'm okay with that. And Catherine Kuhlman, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise you. Catherine Kuhlman, if anybody knows who she is, she was a revivalist, really. She had an incredible healing ministry in the 50s and 60s and I think into the 70s, but she would get on stage and she would say, I have died 1,000 deaths. I have died 1,000 deaths. And I never really understood that until I got into ministry. And when you get into ministry, God does a funny thing. God pulls your heart to minister to other people, and he says one by one, what are your natural dreams and aspirations? Slowly die to those. The world's adulation, die to that. Whatever fruit that you think the world could judge you to be awesome with, why don't you die to that? Pour your life into people and die to the expectation that they'll be good to you for a long time. Now, I got a lot of, I'm blessed. I'm a blessed man. I have many spiritual sons and daughters. I have spiritual fathers and mothers. I have people in my life that I've walked with for years that I love. I'm a blessed man. This isn't me complaining I don't want anybody feeling, you know, I'm good. I'm better than most, if I could say. You know, there's many people in this room who I have a genuine love for because we live life together. But what I'm saying is, if you're living your life for a payback from people, God will bring you to a place where you have to die to it. God is in the business of cutting off every area in your life that is not centered around his will. You get this? Are we on the same page here? I shared something on Friday night, and I really feel like I'm supposed to share part of it again. I hope you like Friday night. If not, you know, this is a double dose of what you know. Isaiah chapter 44. We're going to start in, 3 through like 5 back there. Isaiah 44, starting in verse 3. This is a promise of God. He spoke it to me a couple months ago, and I've kind of watched it, but I really feel like I'm supposed to talk about this a little bit right now. I kind of have a message. I hope I can weave this into that because, you know, I worked on it. Might as well share it, you know. Isaiah 44, 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up like grass, like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Let me say this another way, what I said earlier. God is in the business of helping you get thirsty and hungry. He says, all who are thirsty, come to me and drink. This water that I give, it's only the water that comes from the life flow of Jesus that quenches the thirst that he wants you to flow in. You get anything from this? I believe that God is so good, and I believe he's such a God of hope. He is such a God of hope that he's so patient and so long-suffering. And I don't know if you know this or not, but God allows circumstances to happen because he knows how he wants it to end. And it's for your good. And so God is more than willing to allow other streams to dry up so he could be your source. Let me say this another way. Wherever today you're facing despair, wherever a life flow or the stream is not flowing in your life, that is happening because God wants to create a holy hunger and a holy thirst that only he can quench. You see, time and time and time again, God sets you up for victory. Time and time and time again, God says, you don't see that you have a need from me in this area. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cut off everything else that feeds it. So you can see that you don't got my best in that area so I can come and fill it. I don't know where there's despair in your life today. I don't know where you feel like I'm not measuring up or I'm not coming up to God's full potential. I don't know where in your life today you feel like I don't know how this could get any better. I want you to look at that area. I want when that pops up in your mind in the future, I want you to say, this must be the area God wants to move in my life. This, I'm not forsaken here. God has not forgotten about me. God has not cut me off. God has not left me out to die in the wilderness. Listen, this is the promise of God for you right here. For I will pour my water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. Do you have any dry ground in your life today? Ask your neighbor, are you crusty? There is a balm in Gilead. Do you hear what I'm telling you today? Do you hear what I'm telling you today? Do you hear what I'm telling you today? I feel the presence of the Lord. I'm pretty excited right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 24. I feel like I'm sojourning across the Sahara to get to my Bible here. I'm just going to drag this right here if you don't mind. Luke chapter 24, we're going to start in verse 5. We might back up a little bit. Now, I don't know if you've gotten to this part of the Bible, if you're kind of a new believer. Basically, there was no God, and then Jesus showed up, okay? The prophets had stopped speaking for a couple hundred years. They had no presence, and then Jesus showed up. This is near, the end of Jesus' ministry on the earth. He, at this point, of course, had died, and they thought that they were going to run everything, and then he kind of left. And right now they go to his tomb to kind of minister to his body. We're going to start in verse, we'll start in 5. The Bible says, I'm going to start in 4. It says, while they were perplexed about this, and we'll start in 1. But on the first day of the week, you know, let's just back up. You know what I mean? Like a running start. At early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, wow, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. I wonder what that looked like. You ever think about that? What that dazzling apparel look like? In dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen." Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? In the Gospel of John, at the very beginning, John chapter 1, John starts his gospel telling people who Jesus was in their midst. You with me? He starts telling them, you know, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became God. And then it says, he dwelt among us, and he put on flesh, and we beheld him as the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. And he starts telling the story about how Jesus is the life. Jesus is the light of men. And he starts the whole gospel by saying, this wasn't just a man. This wasn't just someone on the earth. This was life incarnate. This is life put on flesh. And every word he spoke was truth. And every word he spoke was life. Every word he spoke was life. I wish I could say that about me. Every word he spoke was life. And as we see him walking the earth, you know, today is the 20th anniversary of the Branch Davidian compound thing. Remember when it, anybody old enough to remember the Branch Davidians? Thank you. There was a guy named David Koresh, and he told people he was the Messiah. And he sinned a lot. And then the government decided they didn't want him to have his own bunker and amass arms and be a pedophile. And they raided him and he burnt down the place. And I think like 78 people died in the fire. And there's still people today who believe he was God in the flesh. And you know, 3 days is well passed up at this point. I mean, it's been 20 years, and they're like, he's coming back. I'm like, I don't think so. Yeah, he had a lot of time. And a lot of people die claiming to be God. A lot of people die claiming to have the key to life. The only way you can prove that you have the key to life is to show that your key works. I can tell you I got the key to Fort Knox. Let's go to Fort Knox, see if it works. Jesus said, I got the key. I got the key to life. And then he came back to show folks. As a matter of fact, he said, I got the keys, and I'm going to give it to you, you believers. Hallelujah. I'm feeling good right now. And so this guy who claimed he was the Messiah, and they're saying, well, you know, these prophets back in the day, they always had to do these crazy things that looked ungodly. And, you know, like the prophet who had to marry the prostitute and all that. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Maybe I can believe that. Where's the miracles? Where's the miracles that the prophets did? Where's the miracles that Jesus did? You see, because the Messiah, everywhere he went, there was life. Everywhere he went, there was life. There wasn't a single funeral that he didn't mess up. I mean, there wasn't a single... sick party that he didn't go there and destroy. And, oh, I just feel bad for myself because I'm sick. You're not sick anymore. Oh, get up and work. Oh, that was my hustle. You done wrecked my hustle. That was my, now I got to work. Everywhere he went, there was life. Where the Messiah is, there's life. And so Jesus showed this by everywhere he went, there was life. Everywhere he went, and I believe on a certain level, he modeled this for us. Where we go, there should be more life when we leave there than when we got there. I believe that people should leave with more hope when we leave than when we got there. I believe that people should see us and say, you know what? He's got something going on in his life. If I just hung out around them, I would have more life flowing in me because his words are life. You with me? Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. I promise you I am. And so we know that Jesus was God in the flesh, but I also believe that his life was a prophetic sign for how we're supposed to live. And what happened to Jesus is a prophetic sign of how we're supposed to live. And so when Jesus left, they went to worship at his tomb and to worship his dead body. I had a friend, well, he's a friend of a friend, actually, just to be completely honest. He lost a son who was young, and he was a preacher, the dad was, and his son wanted to be in ministry. And his son passed away tragically, and the family, they knew that he was in heaven. You know, they weren't wrought with grief, so to speak. You know, like the Lord heals, even though you'll be sad, but you understand what I'm saying. And he went to go visit his son at his grave, and he and his wife and his daughter were there, and they were standing at the grave. And he heard the Lord, as he said, as clearly as you hear me talking right now, I heard the Lord say, "What are you doing here?" He's like, "Huh?" He goes, "He's not here. Your son's not here." No, I don't think it's sin to visit a gravesite or anything. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I believe the Lord was speaking hope into that situation. You see, Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered the grave. This life is but a flash in eternity. And in light of eternity, what you do right here matters. And so they go to the grave, and they go to see the body and to make it, I don't know, stink less or whatever they were going to do with the spices. And the angel says to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why would you come to a grave to visit the risen Messiah?" And I began to ponder that, and the Lord began to highlight that for me, and I began to pray it through, And I just see so many people in this world seeking life among the dead. Seeking identity among people who don't know life. Who have the same goals as people who don't have life. Who seek the same acclimate as people who don't know life. Who seek the same affirmation as those who don't know life. Who seek the same empowerment as those who don't know life. And I feel like the Lord is saying, why do you seek the living among the dead? Are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? Why do you seek the living among the dead? In John chapter 17, which is a verse that I've just been, has been ministering to me so much, Jesus said, literally, he said, in 17:15, he says, "I don't ask, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. It's like this. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We have to recognize that right here, right now, we're in this world. We're living in this world, but we're not of this world. I'm not of this planet. I'm from heaven. And you're from heaven, and your hope doesn't come from here. It comes from heaven. And your hope comes from life, the living one, who is in heaven right now interceding for you. And he's sending his spirit to minister to you. And he's left his spirit here to guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. I feel like God wants to minister life to some people this morning. I believe he wants to ignite hope in some people. Mikey, come on up for me if you would. I feel like such a heaviness in my spirit that the enemy has come against some people. And he's kind of lied to you about where your hope comes from. And I think he's lied to you about how you're supposed to measure yourself. And that's it right there. I feel like the Lord, he wants to come against some false identities this morning. There's some false measurements that I believe the Lord wants to come against this morning. I feel this so strong in my spirit right now. I got a message, but I can't bring it because, you know, there's a real God. Everybody believe that, right? You know, there's a real devil. You believe that? And Jesus says here, look, I don't want to take them out of the world. I want to leave them in the world, but I do want to keep them away from the devil. Jesus prayed to the Father that you would be away from the devil. That's important. And I just, I hate to use this word on a Sunday morning, but I just feel like there's a certain level of witchcraft against some people. I believe there's a certain level of witchcraft that has really come against some people in this house. I believe there's a certain level of witchcraft that's come against some, just a level of curse that needs to be broken. Where there is not hope, the enemy resides. Because he is the God of hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Are you distracted this morning? Are you okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray a little bit. I just feel like the Holy Ghost is doing something. You're like, where's it? My goal here is to get people closer to Jesus. I'm not running a seminary. We're a community that worships Jesus. My goal is to encourage you today. There's the presence. Do you feel the presence rolling in? There's the presence right there. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you begin speaking to your people and that you would break the curse over them right now, that the lie would come off. Hallelujah. 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 Believers, would you just pray in the Holy Ghost? Let's just... First John, it says, the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Father, we want to abide in your love today. We want to abide in your will today, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I feel it lifting. We love you, Jesus. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost of God. You lift burdens. You lift burdens. like to sing Let Hope Arise here in a moment. But we're going to just pray for a little bit. I mean, I feel like there's somebody in this room that despair is going to consume you if you don't allow God to minister. And as much as I want to have a nice church service, I can't ignore the people to have a good service. Stand with me if you would. If you're feeling the Lord and you're sitting down, you're fine, but hallelujah. 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 Ready, Lillian? Listen, this is going to break something off. I don't know where we're going from here, but I'm not going on with this. Let's do it.
He's awakening the hope in me by calling forth my destiny. He's breathing life into
the devil is a liar. He's such a liar. He's really defeated. I just found out that we had a bit of attack happen today. There's a family in the house that had some unfortunate incidences, and people had to be arrested because they came against them. And this is kind of the spiritual battle we're going through right now, if I could just be honest with you. So let's just worship right now. We're going to worship. Listen, there's real spiritual warfare. And it manifests in the natural. We're just going to worship for a second. Can we just do that? Let's actually let hope arise. Ready? You good? Come on, let's do it. You sing your thing. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who feels it rising right now in the name of Jesus?
Felt today that there's been a lot of things that God, that the enemy is trying to bring distractions and get us to look at him. And God wants us to look at him, because God is bigger than any work of the enemy. God is greater than any trial that may be in your life. God is greater than any circumstance that tries to come against you. We can trust in God that he is control. He's in control. He's bigger than all the stuff that goes on in life. Things in life happen, but God is bigger than all of that. And I want right now for us to choose to look at Jesus, that the Lord's presence is in this place, and he's giving joy in the midst of circumstances that are not going the way we want them to, and he's giving peace in the midst of circumstances, and he's bringing answers to the prayers that we've placed before him, because God is good. The devil's a liar. So let's just focus on God's goodness, and let's let hope arise in us right now, and let's trust in the goodness of God. Amen.
And my hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. I'm anchored, never shaken. All my hope is in you. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be anchored, never shaken. All my let hope arise, 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 let hope arise.
I just want to give an opportunity for people that where that hope hasn't arisen yet in your life, and you're just feeling heavy. If you want to receive prayer, you can come up to the front here. We have some people that will pray for you. want us to leave here encouraged and know that God is good and he has good plans for our life.